Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cisternino here. And we are here 1 week after the Survivor 42 finale. And we're going to do some Twitter Spaces Q&A. I've been doing a lot of these during the season. And I really love to get to hear from the fans. And I love to answer your questions. So we'd love to hear from people today. If you want to come on and talk about something Survivor 42, big picture, something specific from the finale, would love to hear from you. So just raise your hand and we'll get to as many people as we can here on some post-season Twitter Spaces. Had a couple of fun things going on here in the podcast world. Today is June 1st, first day of Pride Month, and we have a really cool podcast series that is launching today. I highly suggest you check it out. Of course, it is called The Pride Has Spoken. You can check that out here. Evie and Grace Leader and Matt Scott, they are going to be celebrating LGBTQIA plus survivors all month long. And Evie, in the first episode, has an incredible interview with Bryce Isaiah, who is great as always. So check that out. That's going to be coming out with more episodes every Wednesday here in the month of June. Check that out. I also got done recording earlier today a very special kickoff to the new season of Talking with T-Bird. And I had the pleasure of speaking with Survivor Token Sheen's Taj George. And Taj, of course, has a ton of interesting things from her life, from her time in SWV and then Survivor and everything she's done post Survivor and being married to Eddie George. We mostly did focus on Survivor in this interview, but again, I think that Survivor might be the least interesting part of her life. She's got so many cool things going on, but really fun to get to talk to Taj. Be on the lookout for that in the next couple of days. Also, starting the next couple of days, I'm going to start to begin to record some post-season interviews with the cast of Survivor 42. So you're going to want to be on the lookout for that. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. robhaswebsite.com/subscribe. Not to mention, I'm going to be talking about some wrestling later on tonight with somebody who is here and wants to say hello. Let me go ahead and bring on the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Rob.
Chappelle, what's going on?
I actually have a Survivor question
yes.
for once.
Oh, please.
Yes.
The winner of the draft also.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But I got distracted. You talked to Taj and you didn't tell me. Do you know I have so many things to ask Taj? I need to just start sending you my list of like people that you're not allowed to talk to without consulting me first, because I just have so much to say.
Send me the list.
I will. It was starting with Taj, but I won't take this as disrespect, even though it feels a little disrespectful, you know?
I apologize.
It's fine. It's fine. Yes. I was literally just telling Steven the other day, though, that like he should introduce me to Taj, but it's fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's fine. There's no way you could have known that. It was only on Twitter.
Okay. Chappelle, what was your Survivor question?
Okay. So it has to do with the knowledge is power advantage. And I'm sure someone's already asked this question, but could you potentially fake out Jeff with that advantage? Like, could you come to tribal council without the parchment or whatever? Like, make it very clear that you have the knowledge is power, because you're trying to get them to, like, you know, they're trying to shuffle hands and make sure you're not asking the right person for, you know, their advantage or whatever. But could you come and be like, Jeff, I want to use my knowledge of power on such and such, just to see what their reaction is, and then be like, good, because I didn't bring it.
Okay, so you want to bluff that you have the knowledge of power, right? I think it would be a bad bluff, because I think then you're sort of like announcing that you have it.
Yeah, but I feel like once that, like, everybody be knowing that they have it. Like, who didn't know, you know, at that point that they had it? Especially this time, right? Because we already know they're trying to work around it. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where, if you know everybody's trying to protect against it, like, why not just kind of like read the room and see where it landed? Or could you just say it, like, I want to use my knowledge as power, but you don't actually pull out the parchment and hand it to Jeff. You just kind of do like a Tony and say like, oh, I'm gonna use my fake idol here, and just kind of look at everybody and see what they're doing.
Again, I think you could do that. Like, as long as you were the person that had the knowledge is power, like, I don't know what they would do if you were in a season that either did not have the knowledge is power, or you weren't the person that had it, and you try to fake something out and then say, hey, give me, I have the knowledge is power. Give me your idol, Chappelle. And then, like, I don't know. I think somebody's head would explode if you tried to do that. But it just seems like it would be such a bad move to like take out the knowledge is power, and then basically, like, the only way to use it, we've seen in two seasons where if somebody knows that you have it, they can maneuver around it, and, you know, can basically, you know, have you fall on your face. So to, like, take it out and, like, let people know you have it and not to use it would seem very like a not great move.
I just want a world where people are playing hot potato with the idol or the advantage, because they know someone has the knowledge of power advantage, but they're not actually using it. It's kind of like just sitting on it and trying to see if someone will, like, if it's going to switch hands at any point. You know, I kind of want to see that kind of chaos. Like, maybe they should have multiple knowledge of power advantages in the game, because having one at this point is not working. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering even if there's any merit to even keeping it around.
I think if that they got chaos. Good TV moments out of it the two times that it came up. So I would be surprised if they get rid of it. What I would like to see is somebody get like one more step ahead, where Liana is able to say, Tiffany, do you have an idol? And it's like, what? How did you know? It's like, see, I knew, you knew, I knew. So that's what, like, I think that would be an exciting moment.
Yeah, like, I have the knowledge and power advantage, but I actually gave it to someone else. And so you gave me your idol thinking that they had the knowledge and power advantage, but I had it the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I already have your knowledge, I already have your idol, and I have that too. I just feel like there's a room there for this to be chaotic. And that's really what I want to see in my Survivor at this point.
Survivor's not chaotic enough for you.
Not for me. Like, I feel like it's like half measures at this point. Like, let's shuffle it up. Let's make it crazy.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
Yep. But Chappelle, were you, Rob, yes, mm-hmm. You have to go?
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask you if you had any thoughts on Sia popping back in. If you missed it on social media, that there was a video from the official Survivor account where Drea Wheeler from this season was presented with a video from Sia where she got $100,000. She was Sia's favorite player of the season.
Yeah, I've been asking people to bail Sia out of jail for months now, because I was like, she's going to need to give out some prize money. And if she's in prison like she should be, then they're going to have to get that out of her. So she's going to have to get out of there, and then they're going to have to, like, it's a whole legal thing if she's still in jail. So it's like, get her out. So I'm happy to see that she was out enough to give Drea the money. But I also think, like, isn't she being a little cheap here? Like, she only wants to give the money to Drea, because I could probably make a list from this cast of people who I would like to take Sia's money from and give to them.
Would you like to see, if Sia only has $100,000 to give away, hypothetically, would you like to see her, like, give $25,000 to four people?
I mean, Drea really can have that $100,000. Like, I don't want to take that from Drea. Like, just Sia has more money. Sia, give us more money. Mm-hmm. Because you need to. One, you owe us that. Two, you've given out more money than that in the past, right?
Like, I think she's given out, yeah, in season 39, I think she gave out $215,000.
I'm sorry, for what?
She gave $100,000 to Elaine, I believe. I think she gave $100,000 to Janet, and then she gave $15,000 to Jamal.
Okay, well, she needs to call Elaine, and Janet, and kind of like see if Janet could, you know, part with some of that. Janet didn't need all that. Look, in the moment, yes, but like in retrospect, like, okay. Janet could have got 25K, 15K.
Yeah.
But no, I just think that like there were a ton of people who, if I had to make a list, that Sia could have, you know, hit with this money. And then I liked it. I was very happy for Drea. I was like she was crying. I was like trying not to cry too much. I know Sharon's in here. I know Sharon was crying. But like we was trying not to cry because it was very happy for her. But also, Sia, what are you doing? Like, you got out of jail and this is all you're going to do? I don't know. Another half measure, Rob.
Okay, well, just the Sia money is like we used to feel like that we were able to predict it, and now it just goes to show that, you know, also that, you know, Sia is also chaotic, that we have no idea who Sia is going to give the money to, when and what seasons.
Right, lock her back up until we figure out everything, you know, like we just need to know where she's going to do with the money. I really think we should vet her though, like, you know, like Sia, I mean, it's her money, whatever, I get that, it's not my business, but also I'm gonna pretend like it is and be like, Sia, maybe run it past the fans. Because what if Sia got out of prison to give Jonathan 100K? Mm-hmm. Then we'd be like, Sia, girl, you know what? Mm-hmm. So I have my issues, but I was very happy to see that. I see she saw my tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sia was not actually in prison. I just feel like I need to fact check this. This is a podcast, Chappelle.
Oh, no, I thought this was a Twitter space.
Well, I'm going to turn it into a podcast.
Oh, okay. So you're sure Sia wasn't in prison?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, somebody tell me if I'm wrong. I feel the obligation to fact check a little bit.
Okay, so Sia was not in prison, is what you're telling me.
Not to my knowledge. Again, please, somebody in my mentions, let me know if Sia has been to prison. I don't believe that she's been to a physical prison.
Like, ever?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, again, she wears a disguise. Who knows her whereabouts?
So what you're saying is there's a non-zero chance that she has been to prison.
I think so. I think there's non-zero chance, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll take it. So Sia may or may not have gone to prison. That's our new statement.
May or may
officially
not.
Officially on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so I'm happy that she may or may not have gotten out of prison to give the money away.
Yeah. Chappelle, can we bring on another caller to answer a question?
It depends on who it is. Because I see Sasha's in here, and I'm not. And Puya's in here.
They don't have their hand raised.
I'm going to go. Oh, well, good. Mm-hmm. Silence Puya. Sasha, she can talk when I'm going. Me and her beefing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you staying or going?
It depends on who you bring up.
Okay. All right. How about, you want to hear from, let's try Noah.
Ooh, no, I'm kidding.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Here's Noah.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Hi, Noah. What's going on?
Good. I just scroll on Twitter and saw that Survivor announced this Survivor book, and I saw yours truly, Rob Cesternino and Stephen Fishback.
So there's going to be a a Survivor coffee table book that I was involved with a part of it, and it was put together by a woman named Cynthia Wang, and she interviewed Stephen and I as part of this book, and so Stephen and I talked about each season of the show, and I guess it's finally available. So it's a jam-packed lineup, forward by Jeff Probst, Sia, the celebrity superfan, reveals her reward criteria. I guess we got to get this book.
Yeah, this is incredible. Yeah, is it confirmed that there will be a physical copy, or is it only digital?
You know what, honestly, I think it's. I think at this point, I think it's only digital. So, we'll see.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I was thinking that'd be sick to like carry around at finale parties and stuff, and get autographs and stuff.
Yeah, you can get everybody to
like
sign
it'd be a cool product for that. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I'm sorry. So the print edition will be available in the fall. The digital version is going to be available this week. Okay. So I checked my email and found the message.
Okay, sweet. And then I saw some people commenting in the index of the thing. It said like a look into Survivor's next 20 years, and so it's like, sweet. We'll at least get to Survivor 80 now.
Nice, nice. Chappelle, yeah. Will you be picking up a copy of the Survivor, the official collector's edition book?
Only because your name is in it.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I scrolled. I'm like Noah. I looked. I had to see what was in there. So I was looking. I was like, okay. I said, okay. Rob says, you know, some guy, know it all, blah blah. Mm-hmm. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it was over 2 years ago that I think we did the interviews for about this. So,
so it's old stuff, like pre-season 40.
Season 40 was airing at the time that we talked about this stuff.
Gotcha. So Sia wasn't in prison at that time.
to my knowledge, yes, that is a correct statement.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Well, imagine how I felt when I looked at it, and like the second thing you see on there is Sia's award. I'm like, is that official? The CBS sign off on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Very much so. This is officially like in conjunction with CBS production, because Cynthia was on location for so many of the seasons taking photos. So it's going to have a lot of really good photography in the book.
That's cool. Yeah. Like I said, it's got your info in there. So of course I'm going to get it. I'm like, I know this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very excited to tell people that.
So yeah, I'll have a chance to flip through. I just got access to a digital version, so I can see if there's anything interesting that we said that made it into the book.
Would you sign my book?
Of course.
Really?
I'd sign any book you gave me.
Can I have the eight ball?
I think I need to hold on to that.
Wow.
Okay. I need, Chappelle, if the podcast goes under, I need to pawn it to help my kids go to college.
The eight ball.
Yeah.
How much do you think you're getting for that?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. What kind of college you want to send your kids to?
I mean, this seems like a B&B game of like Survivor Pawn Shop.
So, I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's a very old eight ball. It's melted as well. And you're trying to put your kids with an S through college with this ball. So we're going to have to spice it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else can you throw in there? Q&A Pringles?
No, I think we sold them during these top 40 countdown for Survive the Amazon.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, so that should take care of Anthony, mm-hmm, at the very least. Yeah. So then somebody ate them. I'm sorry, what?
Somebody ate them.
Oh, when was their funeral?
No, they made it. They're still alive.
Alive is subjective.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'd be a shell of a person.
All right. Well, let me see if we can get to some survivor questions.
Gotcha. Let's go.
Okay. All right. Noah, did you have any other questions besides about the book?
That was pretty much it. Yeah, I was on Twitter and saw that announcement and that you're alive. I was like, sweet. Perfect opportunity to ask him about it.
Yep. Double. That's sweet. Double whammy. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Sweet.
All right. Noah, thanks, Rob. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye.
Yep. Have a good one. Bye. Bye.
All right. All right, Chappelle. I'm going to bring on. Let's try Mikey. Okay.
Mikey.
All right, let's see what Mikey has to say. Okay.
Big Mike.
Hey, Mikey. Mikey. Mikey Cherries.
Mikey Cherries.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dope name. That's a dope name.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Chappelle, you ready for to talk on the wrestling wrap up with me tonight?
I feel like I can never be, you know, prepared for something like this. There's so much to cover, but we're ready. Hell in the Cell is coming, right?
Mari only literally sent us like 35 clips to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I decided to quit my job and just do that. Watch all the clips that Mari sent.
Okay.
I was like, doing both is hard. Is Mikey not coming?
It is. Sometimes it takes a little bit for people to be able to connect. Okay. All right.
Rob, Lydia Chlamydia is in here.
Oh, okay. Well, you know that we are both huge fans of Chlamydia Nation.
Is yes. Right?
Also, Chlamydianators. Shout out to our friend Tiffany Seely, also, who's here. Usually she's on Instagram.
Yeah, this is new. I don't, you know.
Okay.
What's up?
All right.
You got any more questions? Anybody got their hands up?
Okay, let's try Bailey. Okay?
Yeah.
Here is Bailey. Bailey, are you there?
Oh my God, you totally blindsided me. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Bailey.
Bailey, how are you?
I'm good. Just finishing up the work day and saw Sesty Collins. So I was like, oh, hey, I'll listen in.
Yeah. Okay. Bailey, do you have a question about, we are 1 week out from the Survivor finale. Do you have any Survivor thoughts?
I think I have a thought and then a kind of a general question. So my thought is like, I think Marianne is probably the most satisfied I've been with for a winner in like a very long time. And like the representation of another Black woman is great, but I also love the fact that I am a very loud, chaotic personality. And part of the reason I stopped applying for Survivor was I was like, there's just no way I'm getting voted out first. Either voted out first or voted out like final four. I'll never get to the end. No one will ever take me seriously. So the fact that somebody who would like, who makes just random sounds just because they hate silence was able to make it to the end just really like, I'm like, wow, this was the representation I didn't know I needed.
Well, relatable content.
Yeah, that is a good point because I think that the majority of the Survivor winners are people that are just sort of like a little bit more of like the quiet types that just get along with everybody, don't create too much drama. I think that that's sort of like for most of the 40 seasons, that's the person that wins the show. Whoever can sort of like, you know, stay out of the drama, you know, be well-liked. Like those are like the big things that we're looking at. And Marianne is, she did do a good job of staying out of the drama for the most part. But, you know, she was not somebody who was, you know, seen as somebody who was just a quiet person.
Yeah, the only person that I can think of off the top of my head that really like falls anywhere close to Marianne would be Sandra, just kind of that like bold and brashness, but that's like a kind of a different beast than Marianne's like chaotic quirkiness. So
yeah. It's interesting. Like Marianne is like, it's hard to put her in a box. I thought about this a little bit of who is she like, that I think that maybe like the closest, that you can find, to Marianne, I think is like, it's like part Fabio where, you know, Fabio was just so likable that everybody won, but Fabio had no idea what was going on in the game, which is not the case with Marianne, who didn't always have like the ability to dictate what she wanted until the very end of the game, but she knew seemingly what was going on throughout the game, where Fabio did not.
If we're going to get some international love in here, I think that Christy is probably the closest.
That
we could get. Because not only very underestimated until the end, and then just completely sold that final tribal council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although that, with all due respect to Marianne, much bigger character. And got a lot more screen time than Christy.
Yeah, I think that that's
Don't tell her part. I said that, okay?
Hey, I have met Christy, and she is very lovely, but not as exhausting as probably Marianne is, and that's coming from love, because I am also a very exhausting personality. Yes.
And Marianne had a very big edit on the show.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I think the question that I wanted to pose is, I've seen some like discourse on Reddit about how potentially the big moves era of Survivor is over.
Interesting.
Between Erica and Marianne, who were pretty like not on the bottom, but not in the main group. And then at the like final six, do this big power play that juts them out into the basically Mario Kart, to borrow a Marianneism, Mario Kart blue shells the main like big moves player out of the game. There's been a lot of talk about how the way that you win now in this current form of Survivor is less doing as many big moves as you possibly can, but biding your time and then striking when the moment is right and being underestimated until then. I wanted to get your thoughts and see if you agreed with that or what you think this could mean for strategy going forward.
Well, let me ask Chappelle, who did win the draft with some really big moves. Chappelle, do you feel like that the big moves era of Survivor is over?
I think it's hard. I think it's because we don't know what this era of Survivor is yet, right? Because we've only had two seasons and they had the exact same format. So it's essentially the same season twice, right? So next season could be completely different just based off of like what we've seen, if they wanted to throw another twist in there, like who would we know? Like, how would we know if the Medallion of Power is coming back? Like, we just
don't know.
But you know, like for like the last few, like,
speaking
you
of
know,
Fabio, right?
Yeah, of course. But like for the last few seasons of Survivor, yeah, we kind of had a format for things. So we kind of knew like, oh yeah, you had to make a big move at some point or you had to have a resume and stuff. But like now it's like, you just have to survive. Like you got like the monster is after you guys, you know, it's coming and you got to outrun it basically. So yeah, it might be biding your time. It might be making the right alliances or it might just be the right big move at the right time. But I think ultimately your goal should be to make it to the end. Yeah. That seems like the hardest part now, to get to the end and figure the rest out once you get there.
Yeah. So I would not say that the big moves era is over in Survivor, because I think that what the show would like is a big move every single week. And I think what happened with Erica and Marianne is that they were never the victim of a big move in the season, because there were always bigger targets, especially like once we got to a certain point in the merge that, you know, bigger targets were in front of them to be the sort of like the subject of the big move. Now, Marianne, in her case, ends up making the last big move. So I think that you kind of want to, like, it's the era of big moves is not over. I think it's like whoever gets the last big move is in the best position.
Yeah. Or maybe collecting the most advantages and using them the most optimally, right? Because I think it's underrated that Ricard probably wins the game if he makes it to the final three, but he doesn't because Erica gets that last advantage and beats him in that challenge, right?
Right.
And so, yeah. So it's like we're saying this era is completely different or something. But had he won that challenge, we wouldn't even be saying that, because yeah. It wasn't that he bided his time or whatever. Then he took out the biggest threat. You know, they all did. But then he outlasted everybody. It was like once you start winning challenges, I don't think it really matters. I really think your goal should be to get to the end. And then if you could just be self-aware enough to know how you're perceived, it doesn't matter. You get to the end and you say, this is how I'm perceived, but this is why it works for me. I think you should be able to sell it and probably win the game.
It's almost becoming like a Big Brotherification of Survivor, because I don't think at the beginning Survivor, like in the finals, the immunity challenge was as crucial. But now, like, Lindsay loses. Like, Lindsay could potentially have won the game had she not dropped a plank of wood. Like, and Ricard could have, if Erica doesn't get that advantage, Ricard could absolutely have taken it all the way. So,
yeah,
I totally agree with, like, the idea of, I think challenges are becoming a bit more crucial in the final with the fire-making challenge and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, the sample size is probably just too small to make a call right now, you know?
Small sample size. Okay. Bailey, now we have so many people with their hands up. So thank you so much for your question, okay?
Thank you so much, Rob.
Okay. Take care.
Rob.
Yes, Chappelle.
Bye. Thank you, Chappelle.
Bye. Thanks, Bailey.
Let's say hello to, how about Sideshow Mel?
Hey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Let's say hello to Mel.
Wait, can you hear me?
Yes, Mel, how are you?
Oh my God, thank God. I'm really glad that I wasn't on because I just like sputtered a little bit when you said
No, you're good. Mel, what's happening?
I'm asking this question solely because I see my queen Tiffany in this chat. And I just want to say the girls from New York are doing it like no other girl.
I literally
looked up Survivors from New York and I saw you on there. Rob, you from Wanta, baby?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Long Island girls are really, really putting it up. I'm
the Long Island girl. That is true.
I'm dead. Is there a case to be made that Suffolk County is the most iconic Survivor county?
Get in there.
Is Suffolk County the most iconic Suffolk county? Tom Westman.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
The Jersey girls are going to come for your neck.
I was going to say the same thing. I'll be honest. Yeah. Like, and when I was watching them. Oh my God, not me already forgetting his name. Mike from Hoboken. Yeah. I was watching him all seated and I was like, I guess I have to root for you. We don't have any New York. My only question is like, let's just talk fave New York Survivor girlies. I got Sugar. I got Eliza. Who else?
Oh, Sugar's from New York?
For Eliza.
Yeah, it said Brooklyn on the wiki.
Oh.
But I don't know. Maybe she's a gentrifier. I'm not coming for her for that.
I had never heard that before.
That's just what it said on the wiki. I just wanted to talk about New York, really, as always.
Mel, I like this, but I want to match you for every Survivor from New York. I'm telling you, the Jersey girls are doing the things.
No, yeah, you're 100%.
Is it Lindsay from Jersey too?
Is Jeremy Collins? Is Jeremy Collins from Jersey?
No, he's from Boston.
No.
Sorry.
Cameron. They're
awful. Oh, that was my. I was gonna be like, that's my king. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wait, you dropped him that quick? Is that
no? No, that's still my king, Jeremy Aloysius Collins. I literally know his middle name. That's my king.
Yes, Aloysius.
His middle name is Aloysius. You hear that, you don't forget it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I am definitely not going to forget that.
No, I literally never forget him in my life. Because he saved fish back, and then he looked at Spencer, and he said, I'd do the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. I was sliding out of that. I was like, oh, my God. All right. No, that's it. That's pretty much all I had to say. I just wanted to talk about the girlies.
Yes, Mel. The girlies. Go off, Mel.
All right. Mel, thank you so much, okay?
No problem. Thank you. See you later.
Okay. Bye. Okay.
See, I like Mel. That was dope.
That was fun.
Go Mel.
Okay. All right. Let's say hello to how about Dave? Okay. Here comes Dave on a Survivor Twitter Spaces.
Who is Dave? Let's see this Dave.
Hi, Dave. I'm here. Sorry, I'm on mute. I don't know. This is all very confusing. How's it going, guys?
It's going great, DT, Dave. What's happening?
Up? I have a question. Final Tribal is amazing, obviously. Marianne did great. Mike also blew it. So, which Mike blew it worse? Was it Mike season 42, or was it Mike White?
How dare you?
Which one blew it? There's different circumstances for each of them. There's an argument to be made that they both blew it. Which one do you think blew it worse?
Okay.
Naomi, I'm triggered.
Well, okay. Naomi has a hand up. Okay.
Naomi is triggered.
Okay.
Talk to my queen.
Our resident Mike White expert is here.
Yeah, DT, okay. You opened a can of worms here, okay?
Right. That was the point. I think I wanted to spice it up a little bit.
Naomi,
talk to him. Talk to the people.
Oh, no. I was just laughing to myself. I was like, oh, that's so funny. Mike White slander. Hi, bang.
Yeah.
Hi.
I think Mike Turner blew it more because Mike wanted it. Mike White gave up because he didn't want the $1 million anymore. Mike Turner wanted that $1 million and still blew it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Look, Jeff Probst basically told Mike White he could not win, where Jeff Probst was probably actively rooting for Mike Turner at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that in the case of Mike White, I think it's more self-sabotage. And then in the case of Mike Turner, I think that it was just that the jury rejected what he had to say.
Right.
And you can't forget Marianne had a performance that would have beat Nick too, right? Ultimately. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I love
so that. He was also going up against a better performance.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any argument out of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave, is that how you feel also?
All right. Dave's
He's speechless.
Okay. I think we answered Dave's question. Dave, thank you so much for the call. Naomi, did you have a question?
I wanted to ask about, I don't know if you have talked about this yet, but I wanted to ask about the Beware Idols, because I had been talking with Alex from The Circle season 4, and we talked about the shot in the dark, but I was thinking that they wouldn't do the, the say a funky phrase in front of the whole group idol anymore, because everybody knows what that is, except for Roxroy, apparently. But I was thinking that that was
I think he knows now.
Yeah, now he knows.
Yeah.
But I was wondering what you guys thought about, like, is that another twist? Because they talked so much about which isn't and is coming back. Do you think they're going to do the idols again that same way?
Rob, what do you think about that name Naomi just dropped, though? So smooth. Like, I was talking to Alex from The Circle. He said,
F off.
I have to be honest that it doesn't ring a bell for me just yet.
I don't know her.
But, so I would have to say that I think that they will do something different. I don't think it will be phrases that, pitch has been that I could see them maybe like, okay, at tribal council, you have to, get up and, act something out, or wear this outfit to tribal council or something like that. I think that they're going to probably like change up what they have to do. They're going to have to do something unusual And I don't think it will be the same exact thing as in these past two seasons.
Yeah. I wonder if some of my, like, Australian Survivors had some great, like, you know, risk it for the biscuit kind of idols. I loved the red hand. So maybe there's going to be just pits full of red paint hidden on every island and everyone's going to come back and be like, oh, I was just, you know, like killing an animal so that I, you know, validate
why
their hands are like bright red.
It's just murder. We're just murdering something. It's fine.
Yeah. It's like Sandra with the baby goat. You just got to commit to it, you know?
No. We didn't see that on TV, so it's not canon.
It's not canon.
But no, I think y'all make a good point. I think at some point, though, if it gets too outlandish, what? How do they stop people from just going, I'm not doing that? Like, it says beware, and I'm like, no. I'm not going to dance in front of everybody at Tribal Council. Are you kidding me?
It's certainly possible.
Yeah, because people have done some weird stuff at Tribal Council. Like, remember that one time that one lady, like, stood up on the bench?
Yeah.
Like, just... like, yes. That was crazy, right?
Yes.
Was that Ko Rong?
Yes, Survivor Ko Rong, and it was her name is Jennifer Lanzetti.
Yeah, after that thing climbed out of her ear, she just stands
in
up on
fairness,
the bench.
Yeah, she did have, like, an insect invade her brain right before that.
But I'm saying, like, could you imagine if Jeff had just walked over and been like, Jennifer, you did it. You're immune. And everybody's like, what? And then they have to vote out, like, Sydney or something. I don't know what tribe she was on. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they just have to look over and be like, well, Scott Pollard, I guess it's you now. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I can't wait till Jeff Probst is asking people to do the Cotton Eye Joe on the during a challenge to.
Yes. It's like, do you know how to nay nay?
See, I wouldn't get an idol. No, I'd lose my vote. Yeah.
You do, yes, and my respect.
Yeah. Well, then suddenly the way to prepare for a Survivor season is to watch TikTok dances. Yeah. Like,
at the very least, you need to be able to do the Meke. You know, bring back Earl.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Naomi, anything else you want to talk about?
Oh my gosh. Is there anything else? No, you know what? I got no more good ideas. So let's let somebody else.
I don't
hop
believe
on
that, but thank you so much for the call. Okay.
All
right,
you got it.
All right, bye.
Naomi, text Chappelle. Challenge.
Copy.
Let's see if we could try Mikey again. We brought him on, and maybe his connection is going to work this time.
Rob, I think another Mike is here. Mike Turner's here.
Yes, of
course.
What
do we do?
Yes, say that the great Mike Turner is here.
Yeah, I'm so nervous. It's like, it's so cool. I'm meeting a Survivor player.
Yes, okay. Mikey, how are you?
Mikey.
Hello.
Hey, Mikey.
Mikey, what's happening?
Mikey, are you there?
I can't hear anything.
Oh, no.
Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Mikey, this was your big shot to be on the Twitter Spaces.
Dang.
Okay.
You blew it.
All right. How about our friend Third Wheel Zach is here.
Zach! Wow!
Okay.
Zach Muhammad's here. Yeah, let's do this.
Zach, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just chilling. I thought y'all were talking to Mikey, so I was a little surprised to see I was called up too.
Yeah. Zach. What's happening?
Nothing much. I'm just chilling. I really enjoyed this Survivor season. I got like my whole family into it, so they were all enjoying it. My mom was a big Marianne supporter the whole way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that they were, must have been pumped up and to see a Canadian win the season then.
Yeah, Canadian and like the first black woman since like Vesepia in season 4. So then my whole family was ecstatic to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a couple of questions about, so like knowledge is power and the idol nullifier. What would you guys rather see again? Or would you guys think they should retire both?
Well, hold on. When did we see the idol nullifier?
Oh, true. We didn't technically see it, but now that we know they brought it back.
Yeah. So I would say,
pause. Do we know they brought it back?
I mean, yeah, I think that's canon.
Is it canon?
Yes.
Are you sure?
We don't need to debate this. Omar held it up in his interview.
You trust this man?
I do.
You trust Omar?
I do.
I can't relate. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
I
think Knowledge is Power is going to be back again. I think that they got two really exciting moments from Knowledge is Power in season 41 and season 42. So I think that maybe they skip a season with it, but I do think that Knowledge is Power is going to continue to be a part of Survivor.
Ooh,
Okay. Do you think they kind of just got lucky with the Knowledge is Power both times, though, with like the information leaking to everyone else? And will that happen again? Because, like, I think it would have been quite, and this has been mentioned on the podcast before, but I think it would have been very disappointing if the Knowledge is Power actually played out the way it was intended. If, like, Drea just kept it secret and, like, stole Mike's idol. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have loved that personally. Yeah. So I kind of hope Knowledge is Power just gone forever, but knowing Jeff Probst and his like never-ending bag of tricks, it's like gonna be here to stay, sadly.
Yeah, so it was really interesting how it unfolded in both seasons, and you know that there are you know people that you know could speak a lot more to how it played out in both of the seasons here. But
yes, I could.
Yes. So, you know, I think that the really interesting thing that, you know, Mike had said in his exit interview with me was that he didn't believe that it was real. And that when they told him, like, hey, you got to give us your idol. He's like, well, I don't want to be like, you know, the Eric Reichenbach here of you're just going to take my idol. I'd rather let Drea steal it than, you know, get just got that you made up a fake thing. And it wasn't until that they found out about the idol nullifier that he said, okay, well, this is a real thing. And then in season 41, sort of like, you know, I think that there was, you know, a lot of moving parts there with, you know, making the fake idol and everything. So it really worked out to be, you know, interesting. But I wonder if maybe telling the players up front that there's a Knowledge is Power in the game might make it feel more fair.
Mm-hmm. Have the season 43 players, like, did they see season 41 in full before going out?
So season 43 saw season 41 in its entirety and then saw, I think, at least the beginning of season 42. But they did not see the completion of season 42. And then season 44 will have seen 41 and 42, but obviously not 43.
God,
that was my favorite part about Mike's exit interview with you when he said that, because I had never thought about how I would feel if someone came up to me and was like, hey, give me your idol. Because we watched Shan and Ricard do that, you know, in the pre-merge in their season, and they're just like, give me the idol and I'll give it back to you, JD, and all this other stuff. And then Ricard's worried, like, Shan won't give me back this thing and all this other stuff. And then, like, you have to imagine that if you don't know this is a real thing, yeah, in my mind, I'm like, why would I just hand you my only protection? Like, what is that going to do? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, I would love to see in the future someone literally be like, hey, give me your idol, because the Knowledge of Power is in play and they're going to ask you for it. And then they give it to them and they're like, ha, there is no Knowledge of Power. And then they just run away.
Well, Chappelle, I do think that speaks to an issue with Survivor where, like, I feel like that in whatever rules they sort of tell you up front, like, that just like if you started playing a board game, like, you should know about every power that exists in the game, and you don't know if somebody could potentially have it. But I think it speaks to, you know, a lot of these things, like where idol nullifier is in the game before players even know it exists. So how do you make a move? Like, don't just invent superpowers and give them to people in a game where they have no idea how to potentially defend against a thing that was possible.
Or people in the game should just invent superpowers, because at this point you can guarantee the survivor is going to do it. So if I come to you and be like, "Lo, listen, there's this new thing, I swear. Jeff told me himself, I got the parchment, it's back at camp, don't worry about it. Listen, give me your idol. Matter of fact, give me both your idols and go get that necklace from her. And then we can do this thing where we just take everybody out at the same time." And you're like, "Well, they do have the Knowledge of Power. I could see this happening." You know, like, at this point, sky's the limit. Make it up. Mm-hmm. Why not? It's a Tyler Perry idol, I promise. Like, why? Because I said so. Because Jeff said so, I promise. You know, like, I think it gives you more wiggle room to kind of try to save yourself. But I agree that everyone should know all the rules. But, you know, it works sometimes for some people and it doesn't work for other people. Like, we saw Tony walk around like, I got a bag of tricks and I can use it to the final whatever. I'll just use it forever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, God, we can never vote Tony out. So it's like, why not let people randomly make up advantages and superpowers and all kinds of stuff? Like, you know, Survivor's going to do it. So I feel like the player should be able to do it too. Give them a pen like you gave Jamal.
It's a pencil.
A pencil, yeah. A piece of paper. You never seen one of these on Survivor before.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Zach, anything else going on?
Nothing much. I'll let you guys go, but I just have one more question.
Sure.
Is Outwit Outplay Outlist with Mike Bloom ever going to come back? Because I like those podcasts.
Yes.
No,
yes.
He's fired.
No.
We talked about it. Oh, never mind. Don't keep on, Rob.
Yes. We will do another Out Without Play Out list with Mike Bloom. I know we were talking about one back a while ago. I don't think we will get back to like doing them weekly like we were doing in some of like the real days of the shutdown when there was nothing on television. Yeah. But I'd be surprised if we don't get to a couple this summer.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all for me. You guys can speak to some other people. Nice chatting, as always.
All right, Zach. Bye, take care.
Zach.
Bye.
Peace out, Chappelle. Peace out, Rob.
Let's say hello to Janelle is here. Janelle, how are you?
Janelle.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for letting me in.
Always, Janelle. What's going on?
Nothing much. I absolutely love the finale. I was very happy with how it turned out. But I wanted to say something. I think that they will absolutely bring back the Knowledge is Power because it hasn't worked. Nobody used it correctly. Everybody's told their secrets. I mean, it's been really interesting to watch it blow up, but I think they're going to keep on bringing it back until somebody actually takes an idol. But I kind of feel like it's a game-ending move. I think that whoever actually succeeds at that could possibly lose because Liana was upset about it last season. It caused a lot of drama. It caused a lot of drama with this season with Drea and Omar. Yeah. But I definitely think it's coming back.
So I think that the Knowledge is Power is designed that to never work. Like I feel like that it has worked as intended in the two seasons that we saw it. Where I think that this is like if you ask the Survivor producers, they got exactly what they wanted from both of the seasons, to have somebody ask for the thing and then to have the other players have like outmaneuvered the person asking for a thing. Because I think it would be very anticlimactic if somebody just takes somebody's thing at the tribal council.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're right about that.
So, but listen, I think that the Knowledge of Power incentivizes people to now be quiet about their advantages, right? Like every week we're like, why did you tell this person? Why did you tell this person? But if you think back to the seasons like David versus Goliath or whatever, it incentivized them to talk about their advantages so they could use them all at the same time to upset the power structure, right? So in my mind, this is something that you want to keep around because, you know, although people are going to now like they've seen people touch the hot stove and so now they don't want to talk about it. Eventually, you're going to look up and be like, man, had I told such and such about my nullifier, we could have got together and used the Knowledge of Power. You know what I'm saying? We could have collaborated on some of these moves where it looks like, I don't know, it's going to start to deter people from actually doing that.
We'll see.
It's a very weird advantage.
It is a very weird advantage. I think that people will continue to tell other people about the advantages because I think that they also design these advantages so that you have to share the like knowledge of the advantage with another person, whether it's going to Shipwheel Island or whether it's like saying the thing in front of everybody. It's like that they want like multiple people to have the information, like the amulet, but then they also want there to be ways that could person like your thing could be compromised because other people know about it.
Yeah,
that's an excellent point. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
The more the players are talking amongst themselves, I think the better TV you get, right? Like anytime everyone's just kind of resolved to being next, then I don't think you're going to get good survivors. So I think that's what they're going for. Like, let's keep them talking. Let's keep them strategizing over God knows what. If we have to make it up, then so be it.
I have one last question, Rob. Who out of the past two seasons do you think will get a chance to come back if they do that?
So I think a lot of people, because I think that what they're going to do the next time they do a season with returnees, I think it's going to be basically all people or maybe almost all people from the last couple. So, yeah, I think that just going through this past season, I think that Jenny and I were trying to figure it out. And I figure that there's probably at least five or six people from this past season that they would want to bring back. And, you know, there's a ton of people from season 41. Do you want a list of names?
Sure. I just need Sham back. I need Tiffany back. I need Evie back. I need Nasir back. There's so many people from 41 that I loved.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it just depends on, you know, how many people are they bringing back and is it all people from post-season 40? But I think that those are all people that are going to be strongly in consideration.
What if you did a battle of the seasons? where you did like six people from each of the first three seasons or something like that, you know?
So then
that way you give them all a second chance in this new era, you know, because there's so many that we wanted to see, but then you can kind of see who's going to come up on top. And they already have their like pre-existing alliances, but they're all on the same tribe. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. And so now all this after the show, you know, interaction is going to start to come into play too. And maybe we get some more interesting strategy now that they know each other.
So season 44, you're saying, is season 41 versus season 42 versus season 43?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, do that. Well, no, that's not fair to season 43 because they wouldn't have seen as much, you know, Survivor probably, right? So you probably want to do like, I don't know, after season 44, you bring back those like people and just put them against each other. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like spice it up. I think it's a format we haven't done before, but we also get back some interesting characters.
Yeah. The only thing I will say is that, you know, with all due respect to all of the returning players, that the thing that Survivor is doing so well right now is casting the show. So that I feel like that, you know, do an All-Star season when it feels time to do the All-Star season, because I feel like they're just like really doing a great job with finding more and more people to play the show.
Oh, so you don't want Tiffany to come back in season 44.
Well, how do you get that?
You just said it.
I said I don't think that they need to do an All-Star season in season 44.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you'll never find another Tiffany.
Exactly. Well, there's several Tiffanys, but not this Tiffany. Not our Tiffany.
Yeah, not this Tiffany. Right.
Exactly. Right. We agree.
Okay.
Rob, would you ever consider doing some sort of reunion with RHAP with the cast? I seriously miss that. It's great what they do, but I miss hearing the cast reflect on all the great moments that they couldn't possibly know are great because they haven't seen the show. Like, but I hate that part of it so much.
Yeah, I don't think that they would ever like give that to me and let me. I would be honored to do something like that. Somebody had pitched the idea of potentially doing like a pre-jury roundtable with the people that did not make the jury. I think that would be very fun. But really, it comes down to, you know, do people want to do something like that? And, you know, do the powers that be want to allow that something like that to happen?
Well, that's the limitations. Like, how long would it take? Let's say you wanted to send out a Zoom link to the cast of season 41 tomorrow and be like, hey, on Friday at 5, having this cast of 41 reunion to talk about the show. It's been a year or however long, whatever. And then just see what happens. Like, is CBS going to be like, no, absolutely not?
The short answer is that I think that, and again, I can't speak for players, but I think for a year, I think they have to get permission on doing stuff like that.
Okay. So a year from now, what if you do it?
Yeah, a year from now, if we want to have like, you know, the Survivor 41 reunion.
Catch up. Yeah, catching up. I think Janelle's spot on. I think that's a good idea because I think people want to know that kind of stuff. Like, you know, where are they now? Who's still friends with who? You know, that's what we like reunion shows.
Absolutely. You know, they would have let Shan come out to the Shantham. That's the moment that I really wanted that moment.
I'll add that, you know, any season that wants to have the official reunion on Rob's podcast, they'll let us know. Yeah.
Unofficial.
We are here for that, Rob.
Unofficial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Janelle, thank you so much. Okay.
Kim, Rob. Bye.
Okay. All right. Take care. Bye. Okay. All right.
This is fun.
Yeah. You having fun? You like this?
It's good,
right? Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Let's try and say hello to 12 requests right now. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Let's try Chelsea. Here's Chelsea.
Hey.
Hi, Chelsea. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to ask, and I missed the start of the show, so if it's already asked, but I highly doubt it because nobody ever talks about it. But I was wondering if you've ever thought about or wanted to bring back the auctions that they used to have. I used to love that as a kid, watching them auction off like a glass of chocolate milk mm-hmm. or things like that. And I just thought that was so exciting. And I'm pretty sure that in the end there would be like immunity. But anyways, yeah. I don't know if you guys ever remember that or thought about it.
So I do not think that the auction will ever come back. To me, it seemed like such a no-brainer when we had that long layoff in between season 40 and season 41. I really thought that the show was going to really like take a long look of what do we want this show to be? What do we want this like? And I really thought that the auction was something that they would have brought back because the fans would have loved it. It would have been a no-brainer. But in the era of you have to earn everything, and then in the era of no food, earn the merge, I don't see any chance that they are bringing back the auction anytime soon because it was just like it's like a free space for the survivors of like, okay, today there's no competition. Everybody's eating today. And it's really it's just fun. And I think that the new era is about dangerous fun, not about free fun.
What if you incorporate the fire tokens again, right? So like people are incentivized to be nice to people on their way out of the game and stuff like that so they can get willed the fire tokens. So then when they get to the final, I don't know, seven or whatever, they can do the auction and then you can only bet on stuff. You know, you can only buy what you can afford with the fire tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then you actually did work on it, work for it. You know, there are other opportunities to get fire tokens throughout the game, probably like we saw in season 40. So, you know, there is some risk to it, probably. And then it's not just everybody's holding their money until they get the last big advantage that is, you know, that doesn't encourage anybody to buy anything. What do you think?
I just don't think that that's what they're going to do anytime soon. I just feel like that the if you read Jeff's interview with Dalton Ross, it's like this is the new era. This is the format now. This is what we're doing. And I don't think that fire tokens is part of that equation. And I just don't think that, you know, having an auction type situation is going to be something that's going to be part of it in the time being. So maybe at some point Survivor continues to evolve and becomes different. I'd love to see it. Everybody would be so excited for the auction to come back, but it just doesn't seem like something the show wants to do. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say, Chelsea.
No, I totally get it. Like, I know obviously it's not a big strategic thing. I just remember really enjoying watching it and just it kind of being like a non-stressful challenge, mm-hmm. I guess, but I totally get it. I never ever heard anybody else talk about it and I wanted to ask.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't think that we're going to see an auction in season 43 or 44, but I guess you never know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. I totally appreciate you guys taking my question. Thank you
so much, Chelsea. Okay. All right. Bye. All right.
Rob,
yes.
You remember back in the Big Brother days where they would do the challenge where you need to, you have to basically like risk something to yes. get the veto.
Yes.
Like they're like shave your head or, you know, take this ice bath.
Yes.
Or would you forfeit some of the money? What if they start to do something like that? I think that would be cool. Like, would you forfeit some of the money, the prize money to have an advantage in this challenge to get you past the final five or something like that? Yeah. That would be fun.
I think that would be interesting. I just feel like that it's so different than what the show has done. The thing that I've like kind of interested,
Rob.
I know it's a new era. The thing that I kind of was interested in if like they did something with the fire tokens where the fire tokens were money, where basically like if you got to the end with so many fire tokens, you got to bank that money. And I think that like you could do stuff with like, you know, would you give up like, you know, one of your fire tokens for this? Or could you like trade like, you know, basically $20,000 for, you know, something for, you know, somebody to vote your way in the game.
Jeez.
But I don't think that that's like the direction the show wants to go.
Yeah, but that would be so cool. Could you imagine going to like the juror that, you know, like is not going to vote for you and be like 20K, 30K.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
40K. What you got? Like, I got six fire tokens. What do you want to do? And then that person snake you and they don't even vote for you, but they took your fire tokens. Like, oh, good TV. That's what I'm saying. It's messy as hell, but I want that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try Andrew. Okay.
Indeed.
Andrew. I think this is Andrew from the Bay. Yes. Andrew.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
What's up, Robin Chappelle? How we doing?
Doing great. What's going on, Andy?
So, my question is, do you guys feel like the person who wins the final immunity is not going to, is going to think who's the easiest one to take with them and put them in fire instead? Because hear me out, the last three winners that we've had, new winners, Tommy, Erica, and
Marianne.
Why am I?
Yeah.
Marianne.
Yeah.
Yes. Have all been taken to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would it be a better decision to take somebody that you feel like should be taken, should be on fire, and just give them immunity, and give the one that's obvious to put into to take with you? Because it's up until that point, up until Island of the Idols, the person that got dragged, I don't believe ever got any votes.
Yeah, I think it was a bad spot on your report card of like, oh, you were the goat, you got dragged to the end. Now I don't think that people think of it that way. But so you're saying that, okay, so the best player is out there. What do? You make you put them in fire? Is that as opposed
to so the obvious choice to put in, I think you should think against that and think of, oh, who do you feel is the next best choice? Like, say, with Romeo winning, who does he feel will not get any votes between Jonathan and Mike?
I think that for Romeo, no matter who he brought to the end, I think that people were going to say, like, well, that was the wrong decision to make. Because I think if he brings Mike to the end, I'd be like, that was crazy. Why'd you bring Mike to the end?
Yeah, either way, I definitely agree with you on that. But yeah.
I think he could have brought Jonathan to the end. And then if people said, like, how could you bring Jonathan? He was such a challenge competitor to the end. It's like, no, I knew he was a goat. Like maybe he could, like, embarrass Jonathan and try to, like, set it up that way. But I think that people would be like, no, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it just depends on the perception that the people have. You know, like, I don't want you to overthink it too much and, like, psych yourself out and be like, well, I took this person because they were the biggest threat. It's like, yeah, but now they're going to beat you. So I think you just have to know who you're sitting next to. You know, like you were saying, the Romeo versus Jonathan argument is probably a decent argument because, you know, some people might, like, be able to look at Jonathan strategically, but if people don't like you, they're not going to vote for you. And so you can find the person who might have been winning a bunch of challenges and stuff and kind of identify that the jury doesn't really mess with them anyway, and just take them. So yeah, I think perception is probably what's the biggest issue there.
Yeah, I think that maybe the worst odds of anything in this situation that we should take a look at is winning the final four challenge. Actually, this is not an advantage to go back to season 35. So I think that Nick won the final four challenge and won the game, and I think that obviously Chris Underwood won it and won the game, but I don't think anybody else who's won the final four challenge between Chrissy, Dom, then Nora, I believe, was it Natalie? Natalie won it. We saw last season Xander won it. Mike won it. Like it feels like that's the spot that ends up being not so great. I know, small sample size.
Yeah, probably too small.
I have one comment, if you don't mind, one more thing.
Yes.
So I was thinking when Marianne won last week, the person that I feel is comparable to her, I don't know if she's better than this person, but her game to me feels like a lot of how Sarah won her game. And the big move that Sarah made was taking out Michaela with the steal a vote. Back in, I want to say it was final seven, right before the finale. And she had advantages. While neither of them won immunities, they had the advantages and they knew how to play their advantages the right way.
So I would say, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, Sarah was sort of like never seen as like the leader, but, you know, Sarah was kind of like flipping a little bit. Sarah would just like, was constantly like turning on her closest allies and putting them out of the game. So I feel like it's not quite the same game as the Sarah game, because I think other than turning on Omer and Lindsay, like I don't think that Marianne really turned on people constantly.
Yeah, the thing with Marianne is that she's one of the few winners who won from the minority of the tribe, right? Because a lot of times we see these people in these big alliances kind of march to the end or like maneuver themselves into a big alliance, but she always was on the periphery. Or like just like kind of hanging on to the end of the bigger alliance, and so she just kind of outlasted them all, you know. But we don't see that often, so I think that's why it's so hard to make a comparison for Marianne, because I mean, like, you know, gone are the days that, like, it's not like she had like a final five and they just whittled everybody down. It was kind of like people were going home and she was just kind of there to pick up the pieces at the end. So I think it's hard to find a good example for who Marianne is similar to, which is cool because, yeah, you know, maybe she'll start her own archetype.
Yeah, I'm curious to ask Marianne herself who she thinks she might have played like. What winner do you think that she was the closest to?
Right, because she didn't win a lot of challenges or anything. You know, a lot of times when you find yourself in that spot, the person who makes it out of that, is they've won their way to the end, right? Like Michelle Fitzgerald or, you know, or even like Jenna Maraska. You know, it's kind of like what – it's like once people identify that you could win the game, they come after you and then you go home. That was happening to other people. It just didn't happen to Marianne.
But overall great winner. I'm very excited for what's to come on CBS. I'm a big Challenge fan. So the CBS Challenge is – I'm super excited for a lot of people. I feel like are down on it, but I feel like it's going to be a good show.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Chappelle.
Okay. All right.
No problem.
If people want to just shoot me a reply on Twitter and let me know what you want to come on and talk about, that I don't know how much time you have, Chappelle, Rob, but I probably need to wrap up in a little bit. Yes.
Yeah, I need to wrap up too. Marianne is in here.
Oh my God.
Like, I know. Do I freak out? Do I run? What do I do? What do I do with my hands?
I think just just freak out.
They're on top of my head.
Yeah, but try to freak out quietly.
They're on top of my head.
Yes.
Okay, I'll just be quiet.
Yes. Yes. We've had so much star power here in the Twitter spaces today. Very,
I know.
Very, very exciting. Okay. Marianne has requested to come on.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Don't say that. Well, should I leave?
I don't know.
I should go.
I don't know. I should go.
I'm gonna go.
Let me hit the button. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm leaving.
See what happens. Hi, Marianne.
There we go. Hi.
Yes.
Hi. Oh my God.
Marianne, how are you?
I'm doing good. Still a little have to be quiet, obviously, so CBS doesn't get me.
Yes. Okay. That's
one
fine.
Thing I want to. Yeah.
You and I are going to be having a chat very very soon, and we are have a green light for that chat.
I hope that you've like told your wife and family and kids that they're not seeing you for a long time. I'm kidnapping you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's going to be great. What I do want to say though is Chappelle.
Nope. Don't talk to me, man.
Omar Chill and out. I were literally watching the draft live as it occurred. And the amount of laughing we had when you picked me, Mike, and Zach.
Hey, Zach? Yeah.
We were like, wait, he got grenaded, but he has first and second. Then after we were hearing about the what's it called, the claws being made up, and we're like, oh, Chappelle does not know how lucky this he is. Like, the luckiest
man
alive.
Was he lucky or good?
No, because he picked Zach out of spite.
Oh,
it was not spite. It was for the meme.
I was listening, and that was out of spite for Shannon.
It wasn't for the meme. Marianne, please. I'm sitting here standing. I have my hands on top of my head still. Rob didn't tell me I could take them down. Thank you for listening to that. I know I sound like a crazy person on these podcasts, but I appreciate you not talking. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm a fan.
No.
I am a fan who was on the show. I get it. I listen to this. I love it. I remember listening in September, your first episode of Squid Games, the podcast that you have about the one, and you talking about, oh my goodness, I listen.
This is why she won Survivor. She's gaslighting me. It's time to go.
I listen. I just don't pay because I'm cheap. I'm a very cheap person. Like,
yes, rich and frugal. We love it.
Yes. So, big fan. Okay, I'll let you. You were trying to leave, so I'm not going to keep you on forever. But Rob, I'm going to keep you forever.
That's
I hope
fine.
You know this.
That's fine, Marianne. I will let everybody know. Just don't come looking for me.
No, allow me to do my tangents. I was trying to be good. I was still bad when you interviewed me, and you had an extra 5 minutes. Okay. Bye, everyone. Love you, Shabbat.
Bye, Marianne.
Thank you for picking me number one. Bye. Okay.
Flip that. All right. Rob, I met Tiffany. I met Marianne. There's so much going on. Is that Mike? I can't do this.
Okay, well, Mike.
I'm leaving.
Now Mike wants to say hi. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. I didn't know if I was allowed to speak because CBS has some restrictions.
Yes,
then I hear Marianne come on. I'm like, hey, I can talk to you now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing? I just want to say thank you to everybody. It's been an amazing experience.
Yes. Mike, thank you as well. And I got your message also just now.
Awesome.
Hey, Mike Turner.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, I don't think that we can do too much Survivor talk here, but yeah, just
absolutely one, not.
Yeah, that
we can talk about the Mets though.
Yeah,
Mets are kicking butt.
Yeah, I'd be very, very excited to talk about that.
Okay. All right. I just want to say hi to everybody, and I'll be talking to everybody soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Whew.
Okay.
Rob, you can't, don't press the button again. I'm hyped. Yeah, I wasn't ready.
Sorry about
that.
I was
holding my breath.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
All right, now Tiffany is here. Tiffany.
That's right.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Tiffany, I feel like this is the first time that we've heard you on a Twitter Spaces.
Listen. Yeah. You think I was going to let everybody come on and I'm not going to say hi? Are you kidding?
Oh. Yes. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Chappelle.
Hi,
so thank you for all the love I'm getting on this. I'm going to be honest. I don't listen to this that often because I'm usually running around like a lunatic, but I was working out and I've been listening to the entire time as I'm working out. So this was my entertainment for the entire workout, which I loved. So I think we need to do this every day to motivate me.
You got it.
And
did we get anything wrong, like Tiffany?
What?
Anything that you want to push back against? Anything we got wrong on this call today?
No, I don't think you got anything wrong. You know, I was thinking about here's the thing. I'm afraid to give you all my really good ideas for some of the things that are likely to come back just in case. Now, hot take. I don't think I'm going to be asked back, but if I were to be asked back, I'm serious. I never count my, you know, chickens before they hatch. Is that the right word? I don't even know if I use that right.
So. No, I think you're right.
It's English teacher here. but I'm afraid to say it because they're like diabolical and I don't want to blow them up just in case. Crazy, right?
Right. Don't say like your worst fears or anything like that because
no, I have no fears. Listen. Fearless. I don't know if you watched my Twitter today, but I woke up at 5 a.m. to the chirping of an alarm in the house and you don't know what that set my day off to be like today. All right. It was a total nightmare. Okay. Horrible. And that just ended about 10 minutes ago after I climbed 18 feet up in the air like a lunatic and fearing for my life. And I really wanted someone to video it, but I was also afraid that nobody would be like watching me as I flew off the side balcony. And that would end my Survivor career forever, including, you know,
are you okay?
Talking on Twitter Spaces.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I did it. I changed all the batteries. My dog is like, I think she lost 3 years of her life from all the alarms going off. But other than that, you know, we're good. But what did I want to say? I wanted to say that I think it's amazing that Sia gave an award. I'm really sad she didn't do it for 41. Listen, is anybody going to say it on my season or am I going to be the only fool that says like, hello, where are you? That was very, listen, Rob, you know I was going to say it, right?
Yeah, Tiffany, who should have gotten Sia's money from season 41?
I think maybe Nasir would have been up for it. I would have been there for that. Yeah. I mean, listen, there are many deserving, but again, it is out of the kindness of her heart. And I get it. She doesn't even have to do that at all. But it is like, dude, 42, man, they had a really good run. Thanks, Lindsay, for getting COVID so that I could go on 41.
Oh, you don't think that maybe if Lindsay had gone on season 41, maybe you would have gotten Sia's money.
Shit. What the hell, man? Listen, here's the thing, though. You know, you're getting called for Survivor. You're running so fast out the door because you never know what can happen from minute to minute.
You never know.
That's how casting is. But like hindsight, you're like, wow, if Lindsay didn't get COVID, we know that Lindsay then got back on the next season because somebody got COVID on 42. So she got to go, so she got to go back on. But if that wouldn't have worked out that way, then I would have been on 42. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Mike Turner and Tiffany Seeley on the same season?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That would have been like, who can talk louder? Who can be more obnoxious? We probably would have got thrown off after like the first 3 seconds. But I would have been, it would have been fun. But listen, I love my season, but it's just funny because there are some very noticeable better things for 42 than 41.
Okay. But you were the first ones back.
Pioneers. Well,
listen. You know what? We are the first ones back. So it's like, we're the guinea pigs. We were like, now it feels like we were just one big, really big social experiment. Like one big guinea pig. You know,
y'all are iconic. This is drop the, you know, drop the four, keep the one. That was season.
You know,
one.
You know what I used to say, drop the four, keep the one. And you know what the one was on my hand, right? I'm just saying. and if anybody knows anything about me, Rob, you know, I much rather would have dropped the four and kept the two. Drop the two and kept the four.
Yeah.
Rob, yes. That season was made for me. Drop the two. You know how much fun I would have had with that on the season?
I can imagine.
Dr. Deuce.
I can imagine.
I mean, I would. I mean, and this poor. Okay, your Twitter space just went to the other side, so this is where I have to probably get off, so that you guys can go eat. But anyway, much love to 42. See, I mean, Drea is deserving. It was great. I think that you know, Marion's a great winner. I would have any one of those three. I would have been okay with, obviously. And it was a great season. Just coming from 41, I thought it was a great season.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I loved watching it. And so, and also the tree where I carved my name, it made it onto episode 10. So that was cool.
Yes. I saw on Evie's Instagram.
You saw, and I put it on mine.
Yep,
I carved all the Yasafor that made it to Merge. I put our names in a big heart and I put a little 41.
Wait.
And I put it on the tree and it made it into episode 10. So
you didn't carve Voce's name into the tree?
You know what? You want to go there? Because we will be podcasting this week.
Yeah. Okay.
Chappelle, let me tell you something, okay? Voce.
Voce.
You know where I'm going to carve his name, right?
Drop the four, keep the one.
That's right. Exactly. I carved his name right onto that parchment paper.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Tiffany, always a pleasure, okay?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Bye, you guys. Have a great night. Thank you to everyone who was on here listening.
Okay? All right.
Okay, bye, y'all.
All right, let's take, one or two more people? Okay.
Yeah, let's do two.
All right, two.
Keep the deuce.
All right, keep the two. Okay, so Trevi wants to ask a question about the new era. Send me a mention on Twitter. Okay. All right. Okay, Trev.
Hello.
Trev, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Trev, what's going on?
I feel like a little bit of a poser here.
Why?
I'm yet to watch the finale, so
no spoilers.
I know what happens. I follow enough people on Twitter to be
yes.
I was spoiled within minutes.
Okay.
But to have like two of the final three here, I feel like a little bit of a poser that I haven't seen it yet. My question is with 41 and 42, with all these new advantages, drop the four, keep the one. How sustainable do we see this being for? I would assume 43 and 44 are probably going to be similar. Does this continue through 45, 46, like so on? Because it's so almost niche and there's all these like very specific twists that can only be done once or twice. Do we see this continuing forever?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that this is what Survivor is right now. But I think in some ways that, you know, if it's like focused on the people and the players, like I think that you could like keep running this back and just like I don't think they should do the same exact twists season after season. But basically, you know, if it's this idea where we're going to just like take a group of people and then throw everything but the kitchen sink at them and then potentially do the same thing again, like we've built like this, you know, escape room. And now let's see how these people handle it. Like I could see them, you know, continuing to do that for, you know, a couple of years before they decide to do something different.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm almost like a purist where I feel like, I always hate when players get like screwed. You guys were talking about like the idol nullifier earlier and how when it was introduced in, was it Game Changers? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like, Sorry? It wasn't,
no, the nullifier was David versus Goliath. Right?
I know. I think it wasn't David versus Goliath, but was
it
also
it was Carl and Bing, right?
Yeah.
Was that
yeah.
before Game Changers? I don't remember the order.
Yeah, no, that was after Game Changers.
Oh,
But talking about the idol nullifier, how people didn't know about it going in, whereas before, like, twists were introduced, like, in Panama, where they first introduced the hidden immunity idol. Or it was Guatemala, but in Panama where they talk about, okay, on Exile Island, there's a hidden immunity idol. That idea of sort of telling the players the twist beforehand, before, you know, someone gets screwed by something they didn't know about, I think, like, in my mind, I'm sort of a purist, and I'm like, I want the players to know.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's not an uncommon sentiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea, just in general. You want people to know what they're doing. You know, we want good TV, but we also want people to think that they can go on the show and win and not just be happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So okay. I agree.
All right. And then, Trev, thank you so much, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. And let's do one last call here before we wrap up. Okay. I'm going to pick up somebody who has an interesting bio. They say that they're going to be the winner of Survivor 46, Chappelle. So,
hey.
All right. Let's talk to Daryl. Okay. Daryl, are you there?
That's Darrell. Darrell, you on speaker.
Hello?
Yes.
There you go. What's up?
Oh my God, this is crazy.
What's crazy?
Rob Sisternino!
Hey!
I'm a huge fan. I'm so sorry. Okay. I really respect your time, Rob. I know that you know you're about ready to go. I'm the last person to speak. I'm amazed. I had a question about the future seasons of Survivor, right?
Yes.
My question was, now I'm a new fan. I just started watching in 2020. So I didn't see really much of the early ones, but I did see yours like 2 months ago.
Okay.
But anyways, do you ever think, and I did listen to the podcast with Bryce, Isaiah, and Evie today.
Yes.
Regarding Pride. Do you think Survivor would ever like, because, you know, the diversity initiative is like sinking their teeth into CBS and like, it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be very revolutionary the next few years.
Sure.
Do you think they would ever do like a LG/B/T type of tribe and they do like a versus, like a three tribe?
So, a all LGBTQ plus season and then divide up the tribes in certain ways by, you know, people's, like,
do you think that's like an outlandish idea? Like CBS,
Darryl,
like,
you messy.
Yeah,
you messy.
I don't think that they would do that. Yeah,
you messy. Why you?
I'm not messy, Shabon. I promise. I think it'd be dope because you can do so much with it.
Maybe on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Look, no, listen, you're messy.
What? Not Paramount Plus, like the challenge type Paramount Plus.
Survivor comes on Paramount Plus too. It's okay. On there.
I may have been overzealous, Rob, but I was just wondering because I'm like, I do feel like the diversity initiative, like I truly see I see the progress. And you know, we had the first black woman winner in 20 years. So I'm they're going to take a step forward in a new direction. Would they be that like PC, if you will? But when I hear your response, you're kind of right. It may be overzealous, but who knows? Like, I agree with Bryce. Maybe one day they might have like a black trans woman. They might have like a trans woman player.
Well, that for sure. But I think that the idea is like, okay, well, how do we be as like inclusive as possible of these like 18 people that we have on the show and not to go like completely all in on any one specific type of person for a season. I think that they want a season that's as diverse as possible.
I get it. Okay, so I can see that. I can understand that. Well, thank you for listening and picking me, Rob. You made my entire month.
Oh.
Hey.
And I listen to you every day. Chappelle, shout out to you. You picked the winner. Hey. I didn't know you would, but you did that. And I stand by my bio, Rob. You're going to see me play Survivor one day.
I can't wait.
I'm going to win.
I can't wait. Okay. Darrell, thank you so much, okay?
Thank you for your time. God bless y'all. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Bye. Okay.
I like him. That was dope.
Yeah, that was fun. All right, Chappelle, can I just also pick up, not to play favorites, but my great friend Ryan Popola is here. And it's, it's very rare that he wants to talk during the Twitter spaces that we do, of course.
And we're about to talk about wrestling.
We're
going to
talk about wrestling tonight. You could hear him every week on The Bump. Over on Peacock, talking about the WWE, Ryan Popola. Ryan, how are you?
I am great. I'm in my car. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Bob, how long have you been doing this for? I feel like this started 5 hours ago.
It's Mr. Bob.
About 90 minutes, yeah.
Good on you, man. I mean, good, fantastic, a lively conversation. I've already Chappelle, honored to be in your presence, legitimately.
No, Ryan, don't do that. I've listened to you on podcast. Don't do that.
Rob can testify to this. Rob and I talk, I don't know, a couple times a year offline, and I say Chappelle's a star. Genuinely, I've told him that several times, legitimately.
I'm
quitting.
That's no cap.
Okay, Rob, stop it.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Okay. All right, Ryan, what's going on?
I'm good. I'll be honest. I like that there's honestly, genuinely, I like that there's so much fervor for the show 1 week after the finale. That makes me happy.
We got to do this again next week.
Really? Fantastic. I mean, what a brand you've built. So I'll be honest, Rob, I'm catching up on your content, so I don't know what takes have been made and not made. I really enjoyed everything last week. I'm very happy for Marianne. I feel like Marianne and I have, and Rob, I think, tell me if you agree with this. I feel like we have somewhat similar energy.
Yeah.
So it gives me hope that I one day can win Survivor. Mm-hmm. You know? So I'm very happy about that. I think that, you know, if I was to write a think piece coming out of it, it would have been that I feel like the show for the longest time has told us someone with that type of energy who kind of is being the fun, loving person in those type of confessionals cannot win. So I really think I like when the dichotomy is flipped on its head. I'm very happy she won. And I feel like I like now that that we can almost kind of put that idea to bed if it was ever an idea at all. I kind of feel like it was.
Okay. Any questions? Anything else?
No, I just love you. You're a great guy.
Oh, Ryan.
He is. He really is.
Thank you so much. You ready for Hell in a Cell?
I am ready. June 5th, this Sunday on Peacock. Seth freaking Rollins versus Cody Rhodes inside Hell in a Cell. Yeah. I've been building since WrestleMania. We broke it all down today. 1 p.m. Eastern on The Bump. New time slot for us. This was not meant to be a promo for me. But hey, we're here. We're in the moment.
Did I see the Miz and Mrs. were on The Bump this week?
Miz and Maurice were on The Bump. I gave them some DoorDash. They still yelled at me, but it's cool. Like, you know, it's fine. Everything's fine. Catch us. Me, Matt, and Caleb will guide you. Everybody, if you tune in this Sunday on The Bump, to get everybody ready for Hell in a Cell. And then I will be on these here Twitter Spaces airwaves after the fact to break it all down after the fact Sunday after the show.
You pick up any pointers tonight? I can't stay up to the end of a pay-per-view.
You're going to have to talk about it with the kids after the fact. Just do it. Just do it.
We're going to watch it the next day.
As long as you can watch.
All right.
This was a real thrill. I wish you all well. Chappelle, genuinely, really cool to talk to you, man. Legitimately.
Same. Okay. I'm sitting here grinning from ear to ear.
All right. Take care. Take care, buddy. Okay.
Love you guys.
Right.
See ya.
All right. Bye. Okay. All right. Chappelle, should we tease what's coming up over on Nothing But Netflix this week?
Yeah. I was about to say, what are we talking about this week?
Yeah.
This week, we're talking about The Floor is Lava.
Yes. No question mark. Floor is Lava.
Ding. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to solidify as a guest. There you go. A guest who is a highly educated person who can talk to us about The Floor is Lava on such a high level that the show deserves. And so I'm working on that. But I'll let you know if we get them.
Yeah. Okay. So be on the lookout for that on Nothing But Netflix. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
Well, tonight you and I are about to talk to Mari and Matt about Hell in a Cell. So yeah, we gotta talk about Mari. Oh, is it just Mari?
From what I understand, yeah.
Matt doesn't respect me, so this is even better.
Matt was solo this weekend on the wrestling wrap up, and now we have Mari solo. I hope they're not, you know, breaking up like a lot of the tag teams do.
Yeah, no. Would you pick a side? Who would you pick?
I gotta see.
Nope. 5 seconds.
I gotta see who turns bad and who turns good.
Okay, that's a cop out, but whatever. I'm riding with Mari. I already picked my team. Sorry. Okay. Matt doesn't respect me. But yeah, so we got that too. And then I'm working on some other stuff with Silent Podcast. G and I got some content coming soon for her podcast. What is it? I don't know about that. Also, I think I'm going to be helping out the Bitter Jurors soon to talk about Survivor Vanuatu for the Stand Vanuatu podcast, too. So that's coming later on. But that's it. Just chilling.
All right. Chappelle, thank you for joining me for the Twitter Spaces. I mean it. This was super fun. I think we should do this again next week. Thanks, everybody, for checking this out. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.